soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The U.S. with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate y gol! ¡Gol de oro! ¡Gol de oro! ¡Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN's 97.5. We roll on here. And I'm just doing a little promotion on X right now because we're welcoming in our next guest. He's the one and only Victor Ariza. So what we want you to do is we want you to join us. Your favorite World Cup moments, what were they? Could have been England down at Azteca Stadium. Could have been Spain just strangling both France and Argentina. It could have been Cabo Verde's story. Could have been the Curaçao story. Could have been Eli Rooms. Big goalkeeper performance, or Vozinha. How about goalkeepers, man? We had some really, really fun, amazing goalkeepers in this World Cup. All right, so I welcome in Victor Ariza now. Victor, how are you?
Good, Glenn. Pleasure to be here as always.
All right, let me remind people that as lucky as I was to call 8 games, Victor was also credentialed in the building. You went up to Dallas and caught Argentina up there, right? And you were also here in Houston.
Yeah, I think I counted up to maybe 10 games. The 7 here in Houston, down in Guadalajara with Mexico, and then 2 up in Dallas.
Well, that's right. I forgot you went to Mexico. So how did you think Mexico did as a host country? I mean, obviously what we saw on TV, it looked amazing.
Yeah, well, obviously it was different because it's an actually footballing country, so I think...
Oh, you slamming the U.S.
Soccer and football is not an American sport? I think here it was centralized into certain pockets of the city.
Talking about Houston.
Well, not just Houston, even Dallas driving up on some of these game days, I think, or afterwards. If you didn't know the World Cup was in town, or, you know, Dallas, I think, maybe had a few more billboards. But other than that... I mean, I think it was kind of business as usual everywhere.
I think that's fair.
Where in Mexico, I mean, as soon as you get off the plane, you could just, you can see it around the city. You can feel it. People are talking about it. So I think it has to do more with culture. Obviously, well, social media.
Yeah, that's the difference between a country that soccer is, football is the number one priority without the competition of 3 other traditional sports and the history. Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely fair. And obviously, that is a truthful take on it all. What was your favorite game in person?
I think I'll go with the Mexico South Korea game in Guadalajara, just because I think. I think we spoke about this here last time.
It was a turning point, right?
It was a different vibe to what Mexican football usually is. For once, I felt the country really united. Even when people were, you know, leaving the stadium bragging about their favorite teams. Now that we're back to Liga MX, and again, everybody's kind of divided back into their own little, you know, groups. And you know, I support Chivas, and you support America, or you know, whichever else. I think. That was a cool thing to watch, and especially, again, with all the things you see in the news, especially Guadalajara the last couple months, and obviously, you know, my family goes back to that state, Jalisco. My grandfather was a big Chivas fan, to be in that stadium, all these little things. I think for that's why. But obviously, the Houston games meant a lot to me also, that Germany-Curaçao game being the first you know, World Cup match in Houston, and to be there and forever, that match will be etched in our history.
I'm still kind of pinching myself. You still, I mean, it's come and gone so fast. It's like, did it happen? You know, and you pinch yourself because these are iconic moments. These are iconic historic moments globally, but locally, this is the biggest sporting event the city's ever held.
Yeah.
I know that bothers people when that's said, but that's a fact. And you had seven of these matches here, and each one of them had a differing story, differing storylines, differing stars. You had Ronaldo score, be the only man to ever score in six goals, and it happened right here at a stadium that apparently in 5 years people want to move, I guess.
Yeah, that could potentially be demolished.
I'm talking to people at these games, and I made sure I went out of my way to talk to people after the games, and people come up and, you know, just because I had a headset on and was calling the game, taking a picture, they don't know who I am, okay? But they're from Japan or they're from other places. So we would get into conversations, and they would be, the stadium is amazing, you know? And I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, but they're already thinking it's outdated, you know? you know, it just it is a real, real strong reminder that infrastructure in sports stadia around the world, U.S.
Yeah,
U.S. is
and you
second
know what?
To none.
I never kind of, you know, with the outside design of the stadium, I never really put it together, to put one and one together that it kind of looks like the San Siro, you know, just from the design. Mm-hmm. And I think until somebody pointed it out, one of these fans on social media, that it basically looks like the San Siro. And I was just like, hey, you know what? And I never, you know, kind of put it like that, obviously. Everybody watching it on TV had good things to say. Certainly now, I mean, it's a little older for what the U.S. stadiums are. And look, we're used to the new shiny toy, right? They opened SoFi, then they opened, you know, now they're going to open up a new one in Buffalo. And then Tennessee is getting a new stadium. And so that's why Houston gets talked about being left behind. But honestly, now that you think about it, all the history now that we have at Reliance Stadium, going back to that first soccer game between the U.S. and Mexico in 2003, it just kind of adds more history to that place. And
there's more to come too.
Yeah, there is, and that's why I think it's kind of I hope it doesn't really get demolished and put away, and you know, I also hope it doesn't become the Astrodome and it just sits there forever. But
yeah, all right, so let's go into top moments of this World Cup. Obviously, Spain winning the World Cup is one. You got Messi and big time players farewell. I'm just throwing a few out here to get people going here. 713-780-3776. The U.S., Mexico, and Canada all did about the same thing. They all got their countries behind them for significant time periods. What would you add to some of those now? I mean, it's a big open board here. And by the way, again, we want to hear from you. What was your favorite World Cup moment? You might have been a volunteer there. That could be it. 713-780-3776.
I go back real quickly just because we already covered it, but that first game in Houston, Germany, Curacao, and then obviously mm-hmm. was one of the higher scoring games. That one will stand out to me. Obviously, you mentioned also Ronaldo setting the record here in Houston. Messi up in Dallas also for momentarily breaking that record, the top scorer all time in the World Cup. Obviously, and I'm sure you've mentioned some of these already, the farewells or assumed farewells of a lot of these guys. Memo Ochoa for Mexico. That turned out into actually a wonderful tribute, even though I know that was a little bit controversial.
I was a little concerned about him being on the team, but at the end of the day, I think the way they did it,
it worked out perfect.
For an exceptional goalkeeper, Memo Ochoa, turned out good. So let's stay on some of the legends Cristiano Ronaldo and Leo Messi. We're assuming they're going to retire.
Done. Although, with those two guys, you never know.
Well, you have to. I think I do have to look at Portugal since I did two of their games here, and they came in with one of the best, if not the best, midfield in the world potentially, definitely in the top three or four. Obviously, Spain turned out to be the best with Rodri, but you really have to wonder. Well, first of all, you have to understand the power of Ronaldo on that team, over a coach and his teammates. Everybody's got a hitch to Ronaldo. That's Ronaldo's team. But you got to wonder if they had a more mobile striker, like a Gonzalo Ramos, right, who didn't really get to play much. If they had a more mobile striker, could it have changed their navigation?
Could they have gone deeper in the tournament? It wasn't all focused on one player. basically.
Well, yeah, and I watched some of these games, and it does look like players make decisions sometimes based on setting Ronaldo up when they should do something different in the final third, attacking wise. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, they have to appease him, and yeah, I guess, I mean, that's because they didn't win it, because they didn't get farther. That's going to be the what if. Mm-hmm. But they also went out to the eventual champion, so maybe there's something to be said for that. Luka Modric is another one that which Portugal eliminated, Croatia. James Rodriguez, you have to think that's his last dance with Colombia. I don't imagine Vosinha comes. He might have been just a one and done. But
Sadio Mane, Senegal.
Yeah, that's another one.
Neymar, but it was. I don't think Neymar was really in the room, honestly. That looked like Carlo Ancelotti did not want him on the team. He was probably put on the team. He wasn't there to help them win games, I don't think.
Similar to Ronaldo.
Yeah, Portugal. Except Ronaldo played a lot of minutes. Neymar didn't. Riyad Mahrez, Algeria, probably his last World Cup. Yeah, he retired. He announced it. Ener Valencia retired from Ecuador. Marco Arnautovic, some people remember him. Austria, I got a list here. Craig Gordon, Scotland, he was well over in the 40s. Patrick Schick, Czech Republic. Manuel Neuer of Germany, who had already been retired, was brought back, replaced the guy who had played in all the qualifying matches, and then Germany got bounced by Paraguay. That was one of the biggest upsets of the tournament. So, you know, we can sit here and say, well, the U.S. disappointed, but the U.S. got knocked out, and it was a poor game. There's no question about it. They got knocked out by Belgium, who really, outside of Cabo Verde in the opening game, which was a draw, Belgium gave Spain their best game of the tournament. 2-1 in the quarterfinals. I was at that game. They scored the only goal that was conceded. Belgium, honestly, as much as we know they're a top 10 team in the world and they have all these great players, they're run up to then putting the beat down on us here in the U.S. They didn't look good. They didn't look good, and they got lucky to beat Senegal. And then Rudy Garcia gets really smart. He looks at the U.S. and he goes, this is a team that's been playing against teams that are dropping off. You know what we're going to do? We're going to get higher up the field on them. We're going to put them under pressure, and we're going to see how they react. And
they were also super motivated after, you know.
Well, they were. Exactly, because they probably were thinking this has not been a great tournament. And then in the blink of an eye, it changes. But I think they just surprised the U.S. We just didn't really live up to the moment in that game. And then they went out after that, played a very, very good game at SoFi, because that was one I called. And, yeah, that was a great game to call. And, you know, the rest is history. Spain goes on to win it, but they probably played two good games the whole tournament, yet almost got deeper, right?
Yeah. No, they didn't start well. But we also talked about this was going to be a bit of a harder tournament to navigate, because on top of players year-round logging minutes in Europe, they were also going to have to add one extra game here with the round of 32 being added. Obviously, Spain managed that well from start to finish, and some of these teams, France, probably ran out of gas. You know, Belgium got it started late, and then, you know, wasn't enough. Portugal struggled from the beginning, too.
Yeah, there were a lot of results early on, and that's usually when you catch some of these teams. By the way, what about Cape Verde's run? They get to the round of 32. They push Argentina. That sick goal from Lopez Cabral. The wonder goal, that curler.
Besides the...
That was unbelievable.
Obviously, besides the top teams, you know, talk about Spain and then Argentina were the two finalists. I mean, that's probably, for a lot of people too, also the story of the tournament. What they did, nobody was expecting them. And we talked about the expansion of the tournaments, and, you know, some of these countries were going to be in, and were they going to get, you know, beat 10-0? Nah, all the opposite. Cape Verde
came up. There weren't too many of those. No.
And even the Curaçao loss, it was more competetive than what that
first 45 minutes they hung in there and made it interesting. And then Germany just put their foot on the pedal. How about Norway eliminating Brazil? And then, of course, the whole story with Erling Haaland, real quick.
Another story of the tournament, I think, pleasant surprise. And I have to say, also got to give credit that maybe it's more what Norway did than how Brazil failed.
Yeah, Brazil is another one. Brazil, Netherlands, Germany, all these great soccer-playing nations went out earlier than they would have wanted. We're not the only ones, the U.S., that's for sure. What is 48 minus 16?
32.
Okay, we finished better than 32 teams. Thank you to the mathematician, Mr. Brian McDonald. So we finished better than 32 teams, the U.S., so did Mexico, so did Canada.
Yeah.
Right? Is that right? Yeah.
If you're happy with that.
It's just for context. No, I wasn't happy with it. Quarterfinals was where we should have been. All right, it's only Rock and Roll by the Rolling Stones.
Hey, Mick Jagger got a lot of miles in this tournament, too.
Yeah, he did. He's got a lot of miles, period. It's pretty unbelievable. They're putting out, they just put out new material and they're doing another tour. I don't know what he's taking. Slip Sliders, 1802 bins near the museum. Made to order sliders for the quick bite or full meal. DoorDash, Grubhub, it's on there. There's a new company, Grubhub. Backyard Burger, Swiss Miss, Seafood. We're going to start that, you and me, Victor. Grubhub.
Or we could start with taking Mick Jagger to Slip Sliders.
Yeah, if he went in there, believe me. Well, you know where they went. They went to B&B Butchers every time they come here on tour on Washington. That's their hangout. They pull in with the limos, the family members. Okay, we're going to talk about the jersey sponsorship when we come back.
Yeah?
We're going to talk about jersey sponsorship. All right, that's Slip Sliders, 1802 bins down near the zoo. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue World Cup talk, but we're going to dip into jersey sponsorship.
Should I hit the restroom before we come back?
You can. Grab that loot.
Well, I like it.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, Echo's Live Music Bar is 900 Richmond Avenue near the intersection of Montrose and Richmond. They serve up Greek and Mexican-inspired food, but this is a really eclectic music spot. Mix of Brazilian jazz nights, Turkish funk, Arab and Viet pop. They've got DJs there, Greek and Nigerian nights. They got vinyl there. They got books about music. It really is a very cool hang. And I do want to thank again all of the spots that I did live music, live soccer matters at, including Senate Avenue every month, The Flat, my good friend DJ Sun, and then also at Hugh O'Connor's Pub. We had a great event out there as well. So a big thank you to all those great establishments, and also to some of the corporations that I was involved in. Aon, obviously, Synergenex, big thank you to them. And then also Transwestern did some really, really fun events, like just talking about the World Cup and our city, the history of our sport here, and the effects of it, some question and answer. It was really, really a lot of fun. So a big thank you to all of them. Okay, we do have to mention Kevin Keegan passed away. Kevin Keegan was a two-time Ballon d'Or winner. Obviously, everybody knows him from his time at Liverpool. So our guys at the Houston LFC, the supporters group out at Hugh O'Connor's Pub, obviously are aware of this. Let's see. He was 75. Apparently, he was ill. I did not know this. So he started at Scunthorpe United, went to Liverpool, 230 appearances, 68 goals, and he transferred to Hamburg. And I remember this because we used to get a half-hour Bundesliga show. And that was kind of a big deal back then because players weren't really transferring around and moving around as much, especially to leagues in different countries. So he went to Hamburg, played there, scored a goal every three games in 90 games, then went to Southampton, and then to Newcastle United. Of course, England international, 63 caps, 21 goals. And then his managerial career included Newcastle United, Fulham, English national team, Man City for a couple of years, and then back to Newcastle. But the one thing that really stuck out, he's a very busy, very good player, very active. But everybody who mentions him talks about what a wonderful man he was. So rest in peace, Kevin Keegan. First 48-team World Cup ever, packed stadiums across North America. Scotland returned to the World Cup. We had the Tartan Army back here. They had a great time. We had Erling Haaland and Norway. Haaland going home with, what did he have, a raccoon with a beer bottle in its mouth or something?
Yeah, it was a raccoon that would hold a liquor bottle.
He had a fun time, I think.
Went home with cowboy hats. He loved Texas.
Yeah, he had a great time. And I think that was part of the story of this World Cup. Just people got, get a different impression of, and a fair impression of what American people are about when they
Texas is good. Everything is big.
Yeah, that's right. Everything is good. It was good during the World Cup. People had a lot of great fun. All right, let's move on here to Victor. Let's see. Youth. Okay, so a couple of players that I wanted to talk about. Johan Manzebi of Switzerland. Maybe people weren't watching the Swiss play. 20-year-old attacking midfielder. Very creative. A lot of attention in the shop window at this World Cup. Yann Diomande of Ivory Coast, 19. He was a winger. Took people on. Was a big threat for the Ivory Coast in this tournament. One-on-one attacker, a wide guy. Bouadi of Morocco, the 19-year-old with the curly hair. Midfield. I mean, that's pretty amazing. A 19-year-old playing as the six for Morocco.
Different countries develop players different ways. And I mean, that's kind of the eight. Not necessarily 19, but I think, you know, you see some of these national teams, they sprinkle in the youth to try to, I mean, I think in today's game, you have to have some of that to try to win. You can't just go full on veterans. You need some younger legs. You need some young blood.
He was playing against Canada. He didn't have one of his better games against Canada in the knockout. He actually got taken out in the second half because I called that game. But good pass for the ball, good defensive awareness, covers ground, very, very good. I guess we give a little bit of a shout out to Alex Freeman of the United States, the way he handled his game.
Yeah, I mean he's been growing right over the last couple of years. Mexico certainly relied on some young players too.
Gilberto Mora,
England as well.
Talk about Mora, right?
Yeah, well,
what a talent.
He wasn't maybe going to start right away, but he's certainly one of the guys for the future. And you got a World Cup under him, the guy who used to be at the Chicago Fire, Brian Gutierrez. Mm-hmm. He also got some minutes.
Started the tournament a lot and actually was a starter in the beginning and then kind of got relegated to coming off the bench more.
Yeah, but again, that's one that maybe you didn't expect. It's certainly in recent years.
Be a starter.
It just kind of players that came out of nowhere. So, and you would think they're probably going to be part of the next World Cup cycle. Ovid Barkas probably didn't get as many minutes, but you think he's going to be around as well.
So Freeman was our right back. Box to box, he scored one of the goals against Australia. Pau Cabarsi obviously was voted the number one player, a 19-year-old, best young player in the tournament for Spain. They only conceded one goal. Saibari up front for Morocco. Was busy. He got injured, though. He's a little bit older. He's mid-20s, I think. Who else? Douay of France. We talked about Mora. There you go. I think Cabarsi and Manzambi were pretty good. And then we had coaches replaced. So, look, the World Cup, when it comes to coaches, it's an entry point and an exit point a lot of times, right? Because it's generally cycles. So it's not surprising that there were a lot of coaching changes. So Julian Nagelsmann of Germany left. It was not a good run for Germany.
They had higher expectations.
Yeah, big time. Jurgen Klopp, it's been a rough last three World Cups for Germany. Jurgen Klopp is now going to be the official appointment there. Ronald Koeman resigned from the Netherlands after that bizarre dropping off against Morocco. He's going to tell you we were a few minutes away from winning 1-0. I just thought that was just so anti-Netherlands football. Steve Clark resigned at Scotland. Hung Young Bo resigned at South Korea, who used to play for the LA Galaxy. Ecuador's coach, he also left. Pekachiche, I think. France, Deschamps has done. By the way, not enough is made of what Deschamps has done for France, both as a player and a coach. Not enough has been made of that.
But not the way that they went out, because again, they were expected to win it with, or at least get to the final with that roster. So doesn't maybe get the exit he probably deserved.
Same as Messi, in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and listen, you have to say, and this is all fair, when Spain strangles you like that in two straight games, you were outcoached.
Yeah.
You were outcoached. Your tactics did not work. You were outcoached. And that's, you're talking about a World Cup winner, Didier Deschamps, both as a player and a coach. Thomas Tuchel, he gone. Again, bizarrely.
Ancelotti, he's got to be out, right?
No, still there.
Still staying.
Croatia's Zlatko Dalic steps down. Czech Republic's coach, Kubek, stepped down. Portugal has already hired a new coach for Roberto Martinez.
He was already on
Jorge Jesus. Well, he's apparently. So I think our listeners need to know this. So Martinez, during the tournament, is apparently, through his agent, negotiating with the Saudi Arabian team, Al Nassr, okay, yeah, which is Ronaldo's team. So you tell me he's not going to do what Ronaldo tells him, because he's hitching his star to CR7.
Yeah.
And I would just say, going to Saudi Arabia, I mean, the money that's being tossed around there is incredible. Okay, Mexico's now going to, Aguirre is gone. He'll be back for his fifth time in a couple of years after a couple more cycles.
I think this one's
just kidding. It's Rafa Marquez is going to take over.
I would hope this one's it.
People are excited about that. Diego Forlan is the interim coach of Uruguay right now. Tunisia fired their coach in the middle of the tournament. And then what you would call one of the great hired national team guns of coaching is Hervé Renard. He took over. He's now left. And then, by the way, Italy hired Paolo Maldini to become the sporting director. And guess who's meeting with him? One Pep Guardiola.
Interesting.
So there you go. Okay. All right. So the Dynamo, you told me, I thought this was a joke today, but apparently it is an AI.
It wasn't. I'm not that talented. Well, it was an AI because it's all over the place. And if attention is what they wanted, they got it. So they got a wipes company on the back of the jersey. MLS teams are going to be able to put sponsors on the back of their jerseys now. I think Miami's the only one who's done it so far, but theirs is attached to basically a stadium sponsor. I think they gave them the back of the jersey, so it's a two-for-one. So they're going to have Nubank after, I think, August. Basically, after the All-Star game in August, I think, is when these sponsorships will be. You can see them on the back of the jerseys, but Houston's announced theirs today, and this is the first deal that's sold on its own. Dude Wipes, which I think was a New York City FC sponsor.
Dude Wipes?
Yeah, and their marketing slogan, and I'm reading this off of what it says here, Space City has Uranus covered. Official back of the jersey partner.
You've got to be kidding me.
With a number 2 on the jersey. So
that's intentional.
Obviously mixed reviews. I think depends on how attached you are to the team. I think some of the fans, longtime fans, are.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So, well, first thing I'll say is this. This is a money grab, no question. Second of all, I'm a guy. I am not buying a jersey that has dude wipes on the back, because it does not conjure up any good thought in my mind.
That's what I'm saying. Well, maybe it appeals. Maybe they're appeasing to I don't know, college kids or something, and hoping that they think it's funny and they'll buy it. I don't know. But
are the Dynamo in a position to be joke makers?
You know what? I think they're just taking the money.
Of course.
Or taking as much money as they can. Now, what I was reading through the Business Journal.
Read a few of the reactions, because I see you have your phone out. Yeah, read a few of the reactions. And not ones that are.
Yeah, well, I gotta watch.
No crude ones.
Didn't realize I had the last jersey I will ever buy until now. So, that's another factor to this. You got to wonder how many of the fans are going to want to buy the jersey now with this on the back. But they're probably not selling as many jerseys anyway.
What is your image? What is your image? I mean, we had James Harden. We've had these rebrandings that never worked.
Well, they still have James Harden. They just leaked the new jersey.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, who and what are the Dynamo? I don't think they know. And again, I go to all outsiders running the team, including the owner, and they don't know what they are. They don't know how to present themselves to the community. So I see this as, all right, grab the cabbage, grab the lettuce, right? This is good. We're grabbing the lettuce. And, at some point I'm selling this team. So if I can get some good money for this, I'm going to take it. I'm going to take the cash.
Yeah, again, I think
doesn't look good long term for us here.
Yeah. I don't think they care. I think they're just trying to take the money and run. This is supposedly their third largest sponsorship. So it's the stadium sponsorship that brings in the most money. Then it's the front of the jersey sponsorship. And now it's this one. So that should tell you. I don't know if they're making enough to put a star player on the field.
We've been bantering around here for 12 plus years. We don't know the identity of this team. The team had an identity and came with an identity when it came here. We don't know the identity of the team. We still don't have any kids out of our community that ever get into the first team like the New York Red Bulls and everybody else. I would ask a really fair question. Does that mean we just don't want to promote and make the effort to move kids through to the first team? Or is the vaunted academy, which we're always told is so good, and we sign kids to pro contracts that never see the field, nobody knows their name, does that mean we're not really good at developing players? I mean, these are fair questions. Either, it may be both. You don't want to move them forward because it's too big of a risk. People don't want to lose their jobs. And or, it's just not our policy. But don't tell us your community. It's very frustrating.
Well, it does reek of desperation only because, I mean, the market's just opening for this back of the jersey thing. So we don't even know what the going rate's going to be.
What are some of the people saying?
Again, some of these can't read.
Read one you can read.
I have to pull it back up, but...
We have your anus covered, Uranus. Jesus.
They even did a commercial with the mascot where he's, he's in front of Space City to Uranus. That's the mission.
Yeah, I'm glad we're funny. Maybe we're going to be we're into comedy now, whatever it takes.
Apparently.
Give me a read. I want to hear one.
Well, at least we're not sponsored by a butt something company.
Oh, all right, we got to go to break. Deep Purple takes us to break. We're out.
ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Soccer Matters
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. One more segment to go here tonight. Big thank you to Hugh O'Connor's Pub. I-10 in the Markey Entertainment Center. Went out there this afternoon. The Houston LFC supporters group is getting ready for their upcoming season. They had the new printed scarves and everything. But soccer's not going away, and you can continue to watch at Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10, and the Markey Entertainment Center. We had a great live show out there ahead of the World Cup. And a big thank you to everybody out there, Dave and Peter. Also, Senate Avenue Brewing, Jersey Village, 16,000 Dillard. That's where you go to Senate Avenue Brewing. We've been doing a lot of shows out there live, one a month for over a year now. So a big thank you to them as well. And we appreciate all the support. So don't forget Hugh O'Connor's Pub. Don't forget Senate Avenue Brewing. Two great, great spots when it comes to all your soccer watching needs, and great food at these establishments, and beer offerings. Of course, Senate Avenue is craft beer in-house. It's the only place you can get it. And then you've got some really good whiskey offerings out at Hugh O'Connor's Pub. Also, I'll remind you about Slip Sliders and Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. These are two exceptional places, one to get Greek food and the other to get the best. And I am telling you, the best sliders in Houston. Brian, you did want to say something about, what was it again? Dude wipes. I got to read this.
Yeah, I find it embarrassing. Like, one, as a consumer, there's no way I'm buying a jersey with the toilet product on the back. Like, walking around and getting the reaction from people who, like, casual fans, people who aren't even sports fans, like, why are you wearing dude wipes on your back, right?
I can't get over it.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I start. And then where I go after that, especially, you know, after working with you for as long as I have, just the perception of this team is one that feels like they prioritize money over winning. And this just kind of feels like another slap in the face as a reminder of that.
Yeah.
Especially since how early, to Victor's point, early. Like, we don't even know what the market is yet. They just jumped on
it. What if they just took
almost, right out of the box?
What if they cheated themselves out of more money?
It just looks desperate. Like you just jumped on the first thing that got thrown your way, and it was dude wipes?
Well, and obviously they were shopping this around to several MLS teams, and they wanted to be the first one to get it, which, again, tells you, you know, they were probably just afraid somebody else was going to. To me, I think they should have waited, but I think maybe they're just hard for cash.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you have an outside owner and you don't feel as though they are really here for the Houston soccer community or Houston as a whole. And I know people are going to get mad at me for saying that. I don't have an axe to grind. I'm just tired of seeing it happen over and over. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And by the way, here's what I looked this up. Here's what the Dynamo say about it. It says, quote, and this is what you do when you take a sponsor that you're probably not fully on board with what it represents, but you want their money.
Yeah.
Here's how you describe it. Okay, you ready? Quote, dude wipes is exactly the kind of partner we love working with. Okay? Exactly the kind of partner we love working with, a brand that's unapologetically authentic. Now, I like unapologetically authentic, and I do like authentic. Not this authentic. And you know what? I might have been able to stomach this a little. I probably wouldn't have been able to. But when your core business isn't doing what it should be doing. Anyway, it says, they know how to make people laugh and has built an incredibly loyal community by staying true to its personality, said Nico Zini, the chief revenue officer of the Houston Dynamo. Together, we're going to bring that same energy to our fans through creative activations, meaningful community initiatives, and yada, 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 yada. We've heard it all before. Back at the Jersey part, the fitting that dude wipes is literally got our backs.
Good. I'm just saying, you could have gone Home Depot or some other company that the same thing could have applied. We got your back. But, you know.
Can you imagine the memes now every time they lose a match?
Well, that's the thing. You open up yourself to all this humiliation. If your team loses, you know the opposing team's going to just bag on you for this. Then they themselves start some of these, you know, extra initiatives. Fans can look forward to clean sheet equals clean back. So what if they allow goals every game? Basically, they don't have a clean back, if we're going to quote it that.
You don't want to know what I wanted to just say right now, and I'm not going to say it because it's not my style. But
Well,
anyway, let's move on from that. That's I agree.
You don't want to talk about Dude Wipes more?
I would like not to. But Dude Wipes is probably happy we're talking about him, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah. No, they
got what they wanted.
They love it, right?
Yeah, well, you're going to get a case of Dude Wipes sent to you, Brian.
Can I refuse to deliver? Yeah.
Well, I think it's an image thing for me, and I just don't think the Dynamo over all these years have made good choices with sponsors, minority owners, and all those things that ultimately are going to shape the perception to you, to your community. And, you know, we're not doing a whole lot to talk about, to represent authentic football in our soccer community and our city, in my opinion. And again, I will say this again, it's all outsiders making these decisions. They're not Houstonians, for the most part.
No, but it's like, where do you, I mean, or do you even care to draw a line? I mean, are the Dash going to get sponsored now by like Twin Peaks or Ojos Locos or one of these companies? Right? I mean,
well, what's next? You're going to have a strip joint on your
Well, that's what I'm
jersey?
Saying. I mean, so I mean, where do you draw the line?
I mean, seriously.
Do you even care? I think we got to the point you don't, because you're just trying to have the check clear and get as much money in. But again, how much money could they be giving for you to put that back on the field?
I can't answer.
They're not buying you a DP player.
You're
not getting $10 million out of this deal.
That's what I've some of the conversation I've seen. Like, if it gets you that difference maker player, yeah, then a lot of fans, I think, would be on board. But no one believes that.
Right. Well, we can start a rumor. Mo Salah's coming to the Houston.
Oh, one game. Comment that was funny. They're like, why can't the mission be for make Bunce score goals? That would be a good mission.
Crickets. Don't you have a cricket thing in there?
Maybe.
Sound?
No. I think we just had crickets. No. We might look for the crickets.
Where's my? Did you have my Beetlejuice? I tried. Do we have that?
Yeah, in my folder. Hold on.
You got to get that one for me because we're trying tonight.
Yeah,
and that's what I like about Beetlejuice. He always tries.
No, and the other thing I thought about immediately, it's what? I mean, you know, the player's got to be laughing at this. They got to be thinking. Like,
I wouldn't want to wear that if I was a player. I'm sorry, Dude Wipes. But I know you're a progressive, fun, and...
I'll try. We'll try.
Exactly. One more time with that. I love that.
I'll try. We'll try.
We did.
Yeah.
Well. One more time.
I'll try. We'll try.
Yeah. We tried. All right. Let's get back to the World Cup because it is the final segment here, and we just kind of digressed here. It's just hard to believe in a lot of ways. It's just,
if they were more successful, maybe it'd play off better. But
I don't even. If you're more successful, you probably don't go to Dude Wipes. You're probably you're a little bit more concerned about what you represent. But
yeah,
when you want to grab some lettuce and cabbage, well, and no disrespect to the guys who have that company and do that, I just don't see the mesh here with the Houston Dynamo. All right, let's go positive on the World Cup. A lot of youth inspired by watching, right? A lot of people
automatically
inspired.
Yeah.
I don't know how we're going to quantify it, but there's a lot of people into soccer, right? New people, unique.
Yeah. For me, it's still, you know, how many and how many, you know, go towards the MLS product or the NWSL teams as opposed to Premier League and Bundesliga, Liga MX, and basically every other league that you know, comes in here and tries to get some money out of the U.S. every summer or so. But again, how does it help locally, right? Does it develop more players? I know that's, you know, the MLS teams also have, you know, a part to say in that. It's not just on the talent being there. We've seen it. If they don't get a shot in MLS, they'll go to some of these other leagues. They'll try to make their way to Europe. They'll try to make their way down south to Mexico or other Latin American
teams.
Yeah,
a lot of the players that never got a shot at the Dynamo end up in Mexico.
Yeah.
Good number of them.
But, I mean, for all this talk we get about, you know, if our best athletes in theory had a choice, would they pick soccer first? I don't know if that's necessary.
That's a dead argument. That's the stupidest argument out there. Anybody who says that is showing their ignorance. Show me the last 6'10 soccer player there was, if that's what you're equating it to size and strength and power. All you got to do is look at Spain, and you'll realize that the mind is important to combine with athleticism. So Spanish players look pretty quick to me. It's a type of athleticism designed for your sport. So this whole thing about we don't get the best athletes, put that to rest. That's for people who are not or just honestly clueless. That was one that went off everybody's lips after we lost to Belgium. Yeah, we were outcoached in the Belgium game. Our guys weren't up for the moment for whatever the reason. And that was the end of the road for us. And I would find it hard to believe that you would not think, based on that lineup coming out, that Belgium, who put guys on the bench like De Bruyne and a lot of the veterans, they fielded a much faster and quicker lineup against the U.S., and they decided to press, and it reaped huge benefits. And then when we equalized through Tillman, we conceded about a minute and a half later. So it really was never going to be the U.S.'s day. But listen, we got a ride of excitement through a bunch of games. The country got behind it. The excitement was there. You were proud of your team, just like Mexico was proud of their team and Canada was proud of their team. We all got a little run of being excited about it, but we all have to understand.
Big viewership for games also.
Yeah, huge viewership. But none of these countries, even though they have Mexico number 10 in the world, none of these countries are top 10 in the world. Well, maybe they are now. Who knows? But that's going to do it. Victor, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Glenn.
I could have done without the dude wipes segment, but...
Yeah, maybe we can get him to send the show a box.
If I get the box... we're not going
there. You don't want to do live reads for Dew Wipes?
No.
We're going to start doing road shows. From
maybe they want to sponsor Soccer on the Radio. I don't know. But okay, let's just talk about this. Podcast, this show, ESPN975.com, Spotify, and Apple. Also, hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Soc. We are Soccer Matters on Facebook, TikTok, and also on YouTube. If you go to TikTok, you can go back and look at all the videos we did together to promote our great city of Houston, Texas. It's a great soccer city. It was a great, fun World Cup. Houston killed it when it comes to the matches at the stadium and everybody's excitement and creating their own environments around watching the World Cup. Hope you had a great time. I certainly did, and I know everybody out there did as well. For Victor Ariza, for Brian McDonald, I'm Glenn Davis. Good night. That's it. For Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.